Welcome to the Westside Gathering Podcast. We appreciate you making time to learn and grow with us. Here you will find teaching from our live Sunday gatherings. After the message, we'll say a little more about our church and how you can connect. But for now, have a listen.
We're going to share a couple of stories this morning. I'm going to read one, and then one's going to be live. Then I'll open the scriptures, and we'll read from the scriptures a little bit, and then we're going to baptize somebody this morning. Sounds good? No, I got that. Don't worry. Good, Ron. So we've got a couple of stories here. I'm going to read from someone who's getting baptized at the end of our gathering. His name is Jordan. He's sitting right over there just getting ready for it. Jordan, you can wave. Not everybody is up to speaking and sharing, and that's okay. And I want you to know, if you ever consider baptism, you don't have to, like, share your story live. Some people often lean towards that and grow towards that, so you don't have to do that. The biggest confession of faith is what happens in the water as people declare their faith and trust in Jesus, amen? That's the biggest confession of faith. But we'll hear a little bit about Jordan's story. So he wrote this: prior to this search of faith, I was living life according to what others thought, or according to others, living a life with no direction of my own, being a follower and afraid of anything to do anything for myself. My life was becoming a cycle of repetition, trying to rely on my own understanding to fix my bad habits, and always ending up in the exact same position I started in, trying to find purpose or fill voids through lust, flesh, and other immoral desires that would begin to control my life and leave me feeling empty and regretful and ashamed. My search for faith and the Lord began when I realized that the Lord wasn't looking for me to be perfect, but invited me into a step of faith to trust Him, and He would take care of the rest. And once I understood this, I began to pursue a personal relationship with the Lord. Then I began to see how He was working in my own life. I was encouraged by some peers to attend church, to feel a sense of community, and to be surrounded around people who would be pursuing faith as well to help me grow in my faith. And this encouragement really helped open up my eyes to how I'm not alone in this path to becoming righteous. I'm going to come back to this word because I think it's interesting he used it. To becoming righteous, which furthered my desire to come to church. My decision to be baptized comes from my gratitude for the Lord and His sacrifice on the cross for our sins. I want the Spirit to guide me and lead me in new life. Additionally, I cannot do this on my own. I want to let the Holy Spirit guide me and remind me that I'm not alone in the journey. And through Him, there is no darkness, only light. Amen. What a beautiful testimony. I'm going to invite Will to come up, but, you know, Jordan used the word righteous, and when I read that first, I thought, oh, it sounds so big and biblical and like, serious word, you know, and getting to know Jordan, it was part of his heart. Like, he wants to grow into the vision that God has for his life. That's partly what righteous and justice means. It's God's will, God's purposes for us. And so, Jordan, yeah, we're just praying for you as you get baptized later. So, Will, why don't you come up and share a little bit? Maybe you noticed Will playing drums this morning. So, also, drumming is not a prerequisite for baptism as well. It just so happened that he's a drummer, and he walked through this process of serving in our worship ministry. So, how you doing? You ready?
Yeah.
Awesome.
All righty. Hi, everybody. Is that too loud? I'm Will. I'm going to be sharing my story. I'm being baptized at the next service. But I just want to highlight that my story isn't about me. It's about Jesus and what He's done in my life. So I want to start by saying, starting when I was a kid. So I grew up Catholic. My mom would bring me to church. And I would just nag and tug on her arm and ask her what the time was. I just wanted to leave, you know. And throughout my adolescent years, I stopped going to church, stopped attending. We're at the seventh grade, and a few big life events have happened. The divorce of my parents and my childhood house burning down really shaped me. It's like I lost my innocence. I went from innocence to losing it all. This is the point where I really started to hate myself. I hated my face, I hated the way I acted, I hated my mind, and I hated my weight. There were times where I was too embarrassed to go downstairs because of how I looked. This was a really tough time for me. A few years have passed, and I hit high school. I lost the weight, I started playing football, and I felt like I was this popular kid that everyone knew. I feel like I accomplished so much, yet I felt so empty inside, and I didn't know why. It's like who I was depended on how well I played in my games. My identity would crumble when I didn't play well. My life was built on performance in school, in sports, and how many friends I had. At this time, this is when I was diagnosed with severe depression. I would rot in my room with moldy containers and wouldn't leave. I was also diagnosed with something called OCD, which I was struggling to understand. I was battling to understand what this was, trying to understand what was wrong with me. It's like I hit rock bottom. It's like I was empty. It's like nothing in life never worked for me. No friends, no worldly participations. Nothing filled me. During this time, what would I do in my room? I'd scroll on TikTok. And over weeks, I saw Christian videos, you know, like, this is what being saved means, and and I was like, what's this Jesus thing? Why is everyone trying to push this on me? So I would kind of, you know, you can click, like, I don't want to see this anymore. I'd click those. And over time, they'd keep coming, though. And I developed, like, a knowledge of who Jesus was, and I had this knowledge of everything, but I just dismissed it, because why do I need that? I can do it myself. But I really reached a point where I just couldn't do it anymore. I couldn't take it. And with all the knowledge I had, I felt like, maybe let me try this Jesus thing out. I was desperate to be saved. I didn't know by what, but by something. And for the first time in years, I got on my knees in my room. And I wept. My flooding eyes were just coming down like pouring rain. And I just asked him, the first thing I said is, Jesus, why? Why is life like this? Why am I like this? And then I asked him for the first time with an intentional heart, I said, Jesus, I need you. I said, I need a savior. Nothing's working. And in that moment, my tears were gone. The minute I confessed that I needed Jesus, it's like my drowning eyes turned dry. I felt a weight lifted off my shoulders. I felt peace, and I completely stopped crying. I felt love, and I just felt like a freight train, a skyscraper of weight had been lifted off my shoulders, like I was free for once. In that moment, realize that Jesus is alive, that he is real, that Jesus is who he said he was and who he says he is. And from that moment, after confessing him as my savior and believing, I've been following Jesus since October 2024. He's shown me what true love looks like. I've never experienced a love like this. He showed me who I am. He gave me life and gave me purpose. I have my identity in Jesus. And he delivered me from my addictions. I'm a child of the Most High. And that's what I'm here to declare today. I'm here to declare that Jesus is the King of my life. And that I'd be nowhere without him. That I'm in need of a Savior. As much now as that day. Thank you.
God's good. Yeah, so good to hear Jordan's story and Will's story, and maybe you can catch up on our video later of the 11 o'clock and hear two more stories that we're going to be hearing today in our gatherings. You know, it's such a privilege to listen to people share or get a glimpse, if you get a chance to have conversations with people like Jordan or Will or others in this process of decision of coming to be baptized. And it's a real privilege to hear what they're walking through and what they're processing and the journey that actually takes place in the middle of this. And something that strikes me when I hear these stories is the idea of a changed heart and a changed mind. Not a perfect person, not a perfect life, but the beginning of a changed heart and a changed mind. You've probably experienced this in small ways in your life. You know what that looks like. You know, I meet like Volkswagen fanatics, and as soon as they drove a Volkswagen, they said, the way it hugs the road, the way the car door closes so firmly, the way it makes me feel when I sit in it, you know? And they'll say something like, Toyota will cost you less in repairs, but I don't care. I'm going to drive a Volkswagen, right? Like, they get that. You meet someone, and you know that person's going to be your person, and then that's it, like, for life, and you're doing life together. Or something even as simple as, like, sea salt. You know, you've been eating table salt all your life, and then you find sea salt, and you're like, man, it makes this stuff taste good. And sea salt on chips is better than normal salt. And then you're like, where have you been all my life, sea salt? Right? And so, like, that's just a small little, you know, idea. It's not the same kind of change or of mind and heart that we're dealing with here. But we're coming off the Easter season. And in Easter, we celebrate the resurrection. And for some of you here for the first time, you're like, Easter was so April. It was so 2 months ago, you know? But we've been celebrating Easter for the last 2 months because it's so important. The resurrection changed everything. It changed everything for the disciples, way more than a Volkswagen or sea salt. And it changed their hearts and their minds. They started to discover who Jesus was as he revealed himself even further on that day and the days after the resurrection. Each of these people getting baptized today have come to this awareness of something that has taken place. Baptism reflects a changed heart, a changed mind. And it's this awareness, not of just anything, but this awareness of Jesus, that Jesus is Lord, that Jesus is King, that Jesus is God's Son. This awareness of who God is, the creator of the world, his Son, the redeemer of the world, his Holy Spirit, the one who comes and equips us. There's a similar story in the scriptures, and we highlighted it just a bit last week if you were with us. It's Acts chapter 2, 50 days after the resurrection, 50 days after Passover for the Jews, and it was a festival called Pentecost, and something miraculous happens. Thousands of people are witnesses to what takes place. There's people from different regions that come into the city of Jerusalem for this festival, and they all speak the language of their region. And there's a second floor of a Jerusalem home where Jesus' disciples are spending time together praying, and God fills them with his Spirit, and they begin to speak in other languages. And these people who came from these regions were expecting to hear Hebrew for this Jewish festival, but they're hearing their language come out of this apartment in Jerusalem. And they start hearing them declare something amazing about what God has done for them, something incredible about what God has done for them. And they start hearing this, and Peter, one of Jesus' disciples, gets up because people are wondering, like, what's happening here? And he gets up and he preaches his first sermon, and he outlines the whole story of the Bible. And he outlines the longing of the human heart. And he puts Jesus right in the center of this story, the one who just died and resurrected 50 days earlier, the climax of the story of Scripture, and in Peter's description, the climax of the human story. Peter quotes an ancient psalm from the Old Testament that speaks about the one who would come. And it are these words, the one who would make known to us the paths of life. What a beautiful phrase. Don't so many people long for that? Make known the paths of life. That this person would fill us with the joy in his presence. Peter, in this message, tells us that Jesus is the solution to the sin and struggle of this world. Thousands of people respond to this message. And I just want to read what happens at this moment when these people respond. It's Acts chapter 2. And if you got your Bibles, you can turn to it. If you borrowed a Bible in the back, you can turn to it as well. And so here we have in this moment, after Peter preaches this message, here's his final words and then the people's response. His final words in the message, he says, therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" And Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all who the Lord our God will call." And with many other words, he warned them, and he pleaded with them, "Save yourselves from this corrupt generation." Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number daily. Did you notice what happens at the end of Peter's message? The people hear this message, and Luke describes it in this way: they're cut to the heart. Something takes place inside of them that's so deep. They're moved, they're convicted, they discovered something, and it hit them so strongly. Luke uses those words. It cut them to the heart. The story that Peter outlined would somehow interact with their own life, with their own heart, with their own humanity. Now, part of their conviction as Jews at the time were that the Jews were part of the people who rejected Jesus. So in a sense, they rejected this Jesus, and here's Peter preaching about this Jesus, and they discover, oh, this is like maybe really the Messiah. So they're convicted about that, but they're also convicted deeply as Peter preaches this. That's what awareness is. That's this awareness that takes place. Something changes in their heart. Something changes in their mind, and it moves them towards this brand new reality, this brand new life. That's the core of Peter's message, the central story of the Bible. He says it at the end of his message. He says, "Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah." He uses the word Messiah. People he's speaking to are Jewish. They felt lost. They had detoured away from God's will. They were far from the vision that God had for their lives. They were living crushed under the weight of the world that they lived in. They were living crushed under the weight of their own decisions, their own rejection, their own rebellion, their own detour. And God sends his Messiah to rescue them. God becomes the solution for Israel and for the world, as we often feel crushed under the weight of the world or the weight of our own sin. But Peter calls him not just Messiah, he calls him Lord. That God's very own presence and authority resides in this Jesus. That he's Lord and Messiah. And then he says not just that, but he alludes to his crucifixion. That he's a crucified Lord. That somehow God's solution was this crazy paradox that his son would die under the weight of sin, under the weight of the world, under the weight of oppression, under the weight of injustice, under the weight of their own rebellion against him, that he would carry the weight of our sin, our brokenness, the evil in the world, the evil that cuts through our hearts, and even death itself would be put upon Jesus. But he didn't stay dead. That's why we celebrate Easter. Peter, in that message, says these words in verse 23 and 24. He says, "This man was handed over to you by God's deliberate plan and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him up from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him." When they heard words like this, they were cut to the heart. And they asked Peter, "What do we do? Like, we feel something. We feel like something's happening inside of us. What do we do, Peter?" And Peter responds to them, "Repent and be baptized." Those two ways, that double response, repent and be baptized. And repentance is the first idea here. Repentance is you changing your mind, you're changing your heart. You were lost and you turn around. You discovered that whatever you were doing, whatever life you were living, you need to make a U-turn and go the other way. Repentance is a change of mind and heart and direction. Just on Thursday this week, I had to go to a doctor's appointment in St. Laurent. My wife said she wanted to come in the car with me. I said, "Sure, you can drive with me, no problem." So we drive to St. Laurent, go to the doctor's appointment, leave the doctor's appointment. It's in St. Laurent, like near DeCary Street. And so, I mean, I know my way back home. I know how to get home. It's not that hard. I jump on DeCary, I'd hit the 40, I'd come west, I'd be okay. But I don't know what I did. I missed something, I missed a turn, and all of a sudden, my two choices are 40 east or 15 south. I'm like, "Oh no, what did I do? Where am I going? How do I turn around?" And you can't turn around. So I just choose 15 South, and I'm on 15 South, and then it's like this big line to get off of Jean Talon. and I see the line on the other side of the carry going back to the 40. And I turned to Frank and I said, I just wasted 20 minutes. What are we going to, how, what, like, that's it. Turn the radio on. Let's just, like, waste time. And so I realized in that moment, like, I made a mistake. I'm going the wrong direction. I need to turn around. Now, sometimes we make mistakes like that in life, and we don't turn around right away. I could have stayed on the 15 and gone all the way to the South Shore and been, like, clueless about it and then find out, or I would have been somewhere on the 10s. Who knows where I would have been, right? That happens in life, where you keep going and going and going the wrong direction. And sometimes, you know, you don't know when you're going to discover you're going the wrong direction and turn around. Thankfully, I figured that out soon on the carry. But for some of us, and even in my own life, it wasn't always that quick. When you've become aware that you're going the wrong way, you change direction. That's what repentance is. That's what Peter's telling them. You want to respond to what's going on in your heart? Repent. Turn around. Recognize you've been going the wrong way, that you've been in rebellion or rejection towards God, and turn and go the other way. In fact, later it tells us Peter pleaded with them, save yourself from this corrupt generation. Save yourself from this corrupt generation. In a sense, this a spiraling life where you need God to rescue you. And it's not just that generation that's spiraling. It's our generation. It's an anxious generation, an insecure generation, an AI generation. And people are spiraling. We're called to return to God. The next response is be baptized. In other words, baptism means immersion, to immerse yourself in the life and purposes of Jesus. That's what the response is. Repentance and baptism. Immerse yourself in this new direction. And this new direction is not just any direction. This new direction is Jesus. What Jordan's going to do here in baptism is immersing himself in the new direction, which we call Jesus. He's the fullness of that direction. Peter actually says, be baptized in the name of Jesus. And it's not just the name of Jesus, it's the life of Jesus, it's the purposes of Jesus, it's the fullness of Jesus. And here's the beautiful thing that happens. Peter gives us a glimpse of what happens when you respond. He doesn't unpack it fully, he doesn't preach a whole other sermon on it, but he gives us a picture of what happens. Here are the two promises after repentance and baptism, and he says this, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the Holy Spirit. Here's the two promises for us. In repentance, in baptism, in belief, in turning to Jesus. The forgiveness of our sins. You know, there's lots going on wrong with the world, and we can list all the things that are going wrong with the world. But to be quite honest, we have to notice what's going wrong with ourselves. The sin in our own heart, in our own mind, in our own lives. It's not just the sins of the world, it's the sin in us. And we long, how much does humanity long to be freed for freedom and hope and flourishing. And here, even hearing a little bit of that in Jordan's story when he said, I long to be righteous, was this sense that I long for God to rescue me and renew me, change me. And forgiveness is bigger than just that. It's a big, incredible slate, a new slate to move forward in. And not just forgiveness of sins, even, I think, the extent of this, you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. What an amazing promise. God promises that to us that we will receive his very presence in our own lives and hearts. He will lead us and guide us and shape us. God will give us his very presence to be with us and transform us and to guide us and to empower us as we move forward. So, so vital. So we start this new relationship, this new life in forgiveness, and this new life is sustained by the Holy Spirit. That's the promise in repentance and baptism, in faith and belief as we come to Jesus. We start this brand new life fresh, knowing that we have a God who forgives, so compassionate. And then we have what God gives us to sustain us in this life through the power of the Holy Spirit. And here is this best part of this. He says, this is for you. Peter says that. He says, this is for you. This is for me. This is for you. Do you hear those words? Just let that phrase just sit with you. This is for you. God wants this for you. God longs this for you. God did this for you. Jesus died on the cross for you. Not just you, but for you too. For you. This promise is for you, and it expands for your children and for all who are far off. I mean, he's speaking to a Jewish crowd at the moment, so the sense of family and community was all part of that. But then think about that for all who are far off, for anybody we lock eyes with matters to God, for everybody that we lock eyes with, this is for them. Chatting with Will this week, he was just sharing something about that, you know, how he longed for his friends and his family to experience a glimpse of what he's experiencing in Christ. And I know he's just like, he's a grade 11 teen. So young. But it's like something has happened where he's like, I want my friends to know this. I want my family to experience this. I long for others to know this. And Peter says, this is for you, but also for those who are far off. What a promise. What a promise of good news. We receive forgiveness, this new slate, this welcome as we are. We don't need to hide. We don't need to pretend. We don't need to say that we're something that we're not. We don't need to do any of that stuff. We come as we are, good, bad, success, struggles, worries, anxieties, the hurt we've caused people, the hurt we've received ourselves. Forgiveness is so wide-reaching that it doesn't only change us, it starts to work in and through us and starts to impact others around us. It begins to transform us. We become agents of transformation. And then we get to know God in the middle of all this. God wants to be known, and he allows us to know him through his son Jesus, and he promises to be with us by his very own Spirit. This is for you. This is for me. This is for everyone we lock eyes with. This is the promise when we come to discover who Jesus is. So today we're going to, in this gathering, we're going to witness one baptism. In the next, we're going to witness three. But we're going to see in this moment the expression, the reflection of a changed heart, a changed mind, repentance, baptism, receiving of forgiveness, the Holy Spirit. It's all wrapped up into what's taking place here today. And so you guys ready to baptize Jordan? Yeah? Awesome. You ready, Jordan? I'm going to invite the team to come up as we pray. Yeah. Oh, let's go, man. Beautiful. Just walk in. Yeah, just walk in. Amazing. Feel free to sit, yeah. Little cold. Not bad. Should we add some hot water for the next gathering? Okay, perfect. Thanks for testing the waters. God is so good, amen? Isn't it amazing? And when I was thinking about this text and baptisms today, how faith and baptism work hand in hand, that's part of our response to Jesus. And it's so wonderful to think about it that way. Think about it in this way. Baptism. Faith precedes baptism, but baptism assumes faith, right? Faith precedes baptism. Those who put their faith in Christ walk towards baptism, and those who are being baptized are ones who have put their faith in Christ, right? Faith precedes baptism. Baptism assumes faith. It's a double response that you're making today, Jordan, as you're doing this. We're so grateful for you, and we celebrate with you. And so I'm just going to ask you a few questions as you do this. Do you believe in Jesus Christ? 100%. Amen. God the Father, God the Son and the Spirit, 100%. That he is Lord and King of your life, yes, that he has died and risen from the grave. Yes, amen. Well, by your testimony and your confession, we baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
It's good. I'm awake now.
You're awake now? Hey, can I pray for you? Hey, we'll pray. God, we're so grateful for this day. We're so grateful that we just get to stand with Jordan as he gets baptized right now in this moment. We're thankful for what he's just done. And we pray you just continue to lead him, guide him, fill him with your Holy Spirit. May he know the beauty and joy of forgiveness, the beauty and flourishing of your Holy Spirit. Sustain him, God, as he walks this path. And remind us, each and every one of us today, those of us who are baptized, remind us of the life you have called us to. And maybe those who are exploring that today, are witnessing this today, God, that there would be a seed of the story of Christ planted in their hearts. God, would you grow that seed and their steps forward, their next steps forward. And if there's anyone here today, God, that just longs to take a step forward, God, draw them by your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. God bless you. God bless you, man.
Thanks for listening. We hope this message helps guide you on your spiritual journey of discovering the life and message of Jesus. We update this podcast weekly, so why not hit subscribe and journey with us? Who are we? Westside Gathering is a local church in the West Island of Montreal. We're a simple community of faith where we want you to feel welcome regardless where you are on your spiritual journey and hope you can grow with us. We meet every Sunday, but you can also find smaller groups, environments, and resources for all ages between Sundays. We would love to hear from you, ask a question, ask for help, or let us know how we can pray for you. Find out more at westsidegathering.com. You can also find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Vimeo. If you'd like to contribute financially, just go to westsidegathering.com/giving. Until next time, peace.